Good morning and welcome everyone to another episode of Sharp Elbows. I am Francesca Hong.
And I'm Nadal Makashi. And as always, we are both here to talk about the week in review when it comes to the political climate of Wisconsin and outside of Wisconsin as well. Remember, you can join the conversation this great Saturday morning by calling in. Number is 844-967-2789. And this week, we also have a very, very special guest to chat with us.
Please welcome, dare I say, baller, the legislator from the 47th Assembly District, State Representative Jimmy Anderson. Thanks so much for being here, Rep. How's your Saturday morning going so far?
Pretty good until you started using the word that we're not allowed to use anymore, right?
Baller. What's your problem with the word baller? Why don't you like it?
It feels like there's a point in which words enter a lexicon where they just get like annoying, like, woke is another one that I really wish would just go away forever. But yeah, I don't know what to do with it at this point.
It was baller, and what was the other one? You had another one too that you tweeted about.
Oh, I now you're asking me to remember all of my complaints on a daily basis. Like that's not helpful. I'm sure at some point you'll scan through my tweets and find it and then continue to annoy me.
You're famous on Twitter, or at least you're getting there, right?
Well, you know, as long as I keep posting thirsty tweets where I beg for followers, yeah, I think I'll eventually climb my way up there to internet famedom.
Well, whoever's listening, please go follow Rep. Jimmy Anderson on Twitter. You will not miss out. There's some really questionable cereal tastes. You know, you'll find out what words not to use, and just some great content. So please go follow him. But we're so excited and so honored to have you on with us today, Rep. I've been a fan from a distance for a really long time, and we're really hoping to kind of get to know you today. So before we delve into the politics, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Who is the man behind the Twitter account? And you know, we want the story behind the story.
Yeah, wow, this feels like a VH1 special. I like it. So I originally grew up in California. I was there through undergrad. I went to school in Monterey, so it was nice being able to spend 4 years on the beach. You know, one of my favorite things was being able to take my motorcycle up and down Highway 1 and be able to take in the coast and kind of clear my mind. And I'm not going to lie, I do miss that. I wish I could, you know, take my wheelchair and maybe get a little bit of an experience of that. I don't know if they'll let me back on the highway with it, but yeah, after that, I went to Wisconsin and go to law school. I was there for about 2 years until my accident happened, where I ended up in my wheelchair after a drunk driver had hit me. I was going out to celebrate my birthday, which was a real damper. I after my accident, I went through rehabilitation. I took a year off to kind of figure out what it was like to live as a disabled person. Went back, got my degree, and then I started a nonprofit to help victims of drug driving, wanting to use my story and experience and try to figure out ways to prevent further accidents from happening, but also be able to find ways to provide financial support for people who had been victimized by drunk drivers that needed some support. And I fell in love with helping people. It was, you know, I had always expected to kind of go into, I'd studied tax law. I was expected to be kind of a corporate attorney. I know, you know, yeah, oh, I know.
Billable hours.
Exactly. Yep. But I caught the bug, and I thought, how can I apply this process of being able to help people in broader ways than just dealing with drunk driving issues? And an opportunity arose to run for office, and here I am. I think I won my first seat in 2016, so I got to win when Donald Trump came into office. That was a bit of a also a difficult day to enjoy.
Yeah.
I'm now in my third term and getting to serve with the wonderful Fran and getting to work with you, Nada. So this is, you know, how I ended up here.
Yeah, well, that's really cool. So it's been about, 5 years. Has the legislature changed in any way? Has it gotten worse, gotten better? What's your take?
It, you know, so like I've always been there under Republican control. I will say that in some ways it's gotten better. You know, being able to go from Scott Walker to Governor Evers has been night and day. So it is wonderful to have like a seat at the table, to be able to kind of have a goalie, to be able to knock away the worst of the legislation. Mm. Obviously, like those bills that they were trying to take away individuals' right to get access to the ballot box, especially for people with disabilities. It's wonderful to have a governor there that's able to stop that kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
But I will say that, you know, I have this theory of like, whenever you take away an individual's power, as their power gets smaller, they get more like meticulous and kind of jerky with the power that they do mm-hmm. have. And I do feel that the legislature, because it has less power, is trying to like use it in ways that are just meaner and less sensical. So obviously, like we have I guess we're still reviewing the 2020 election. I guess we will be until the end of time. But, you know,
well, I hear it was stolen.
Yeah, I'm sure after, you know, recount after, you know, analysis, I'm sure at some point.
Don't forget about the ninjas.
That's right. At some point, we're going to have, you know, sea monsters coming in and taking a look at this. I just don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think the Republican Party is on a decline, and on a decline because of the fascism that they welcomed in. And they seem to think that reclaiming their power, you know, the way to do that is to go after minorities and the disenfranchised. And I think we saw that with the critical race theory bills. We see it across Wisconsin with these just voter suppression bills as well. But Fran, how has the legislature for you differed in the last 8 months that you've been here?
I think,
or has it gotten worse?
I don't think it's gotten worse in that their desperation is becoming more apparent and obvious, and their desperation is breeding their absurdity. And they are clinging to this ideology of white supremacy without naming it. And I'm sorry, I shouldn't say ideology. I mean, white supremacy is a reality, but they use it as their ideology. And I think that it is driving their legislation. It is what is, they can use that and not have to explain anything else. And so whether it's critical race theory bills, the voter suppression bills, legislation to prohibit private sector businesses from issuing mandates like mask wearing or vaccines, it's really, the hypocrisy knows no bounds. And I think more and more people are aware of that, which for me gives me hope, because they're staying engaged and they want to fight, and they know that that power will fight back. But the coalition building that I see happening across the state amongst, you know, nonprofit organizations, grassroots organizations, you know, groups like Citizen Action, working families, I see a coalition building across the state that's going to fight the absurdity and name kind of the systemic racism that really upholds a lot of the Republican values.
Mm. Well, with all this in mind, Rep. Anderson, what has been kind of your favorite aspect of the state representative?
Sorry, so I missed that last part. What was that again?
Your favorite part about being a state rep?
Favorite part about being a state rep? You know, I think it'd have to be being able to provide some degree of tangible results for people that are reaching out to the office. Because I know for myself, I wasn't very political before my accident. And I never, you know, spoke to my local representatives, didn't really talk to my state representatives, was kind of not a great political person, to be perfectly honest. And it took a degree of education to get there. Seeing how people in my district are so connected to me as their elected, to their federal politics, to all of it, to being able to then be able to turn that into actual results, like when we were dealing with the unemployment crisis, right? People being able to reach out asking, how do we navigate this really difficult process in order to get access to the benefits that I deserve? And being able to eventually get them to that goal and be able to provide that kind of support, which they obviously really, really need, has been fulfilling every single day, being able to do that in all variety of ways. And so I really, really do enjoy that as a state rep.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I remember I interned for Senator Schilling and the Gov's office in 2019, 2020, and that was my first kind of introduction to the world of the Capitol. And I was so surprised to learn that you could call your state rep about almost everything, right? You can call them about unemployment, call DHS and agencies about, you know, applications or specific programs. And I think there's, and maybe it's on purpose, sometimes there's this gatekeeping of just how resourceful the Capitol offices are for constituents. And now I make it a point, you know, when people are like, well, how do I solve this problem? Just to say, call your rep. Not only call your rep to kind of like talk to them, but also to get help from them too. And I think not a lot of people know that. Would you agree, Fran?
And I think it's important to point out that the staff who are working in these offices are incredibly capable, knowledgeable, and want to help. And even if you are not speaking to the rep directly, sometimes the staff probably have more avenues and resources and knowledge to be able to help you than the actual rep. So much credit goes out to the folks working at the Capitol in these offices, trying to help folks. And you know, Jimmy and you not are both right in that there are so many issues right now. And even if we cannot directly help constituents, we have resources at our disposal at our disposal to find out how we can help if we can't do it right away.
Absolutely, and you know, it's our job to make those connections in the community and you know, broader population, and so over time we'd be able to, you know, I know I'm always writing down numbers for people that reach out and say that they can help in a variety of ways, and whether through its nonprofits or whatever it is. And so just having those resources and being aware of them is really valuable.
Yeah, I think legislative offices are like places of connection. They know, usually the reps or the staff know so many other people that some constituents could never get a hold of. So I think even in the minority, there's some really actionable and great results that can come from contacting your state representatives. But yeah, it's been Sharp Elbows on Devil Radio 92.7 FM. We're gonna continue the riveting conversation when we come back. Remember, you can always call in at 844-967-32789 to chat with us.